Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
I spoke to Councillor Shane Henderson today about the fact that Auckland Council's Head of Rates, Valuations and Data Management, Rowan Health, has said that 6.6% of rates of 42,902 households were outstanding at the start of the 2025-2026 financial year. As cost of living pressures continue to grow in households with rising food, electricity and rents, I wanted to chat to Auckland Councillor Shane Henderson about how Auckland Council plays a role in making life more affordable for everyday Aucklanders. We also had a discussion about the role of fireworks in our community, with major festivals like Diwali prompting some communities to express concern about the disruption that fireworks are causing to their families, animals and the natural environment.
So Shane, thanks so much for being here with me today. I was wondering whether we could start off with talking about rates and the fact that a lot of people across the country, particularly in Auckland, are struggling to pay their rates bills, even though, you know, the average rates increase in our city is lower than a lot of the rest of the country. What do you have to say about how affordable Auckland Council makes it to live in this city, particularly when it comes to folks' rates bills?
In terms of how affordable Auckland Council makes it, I mean, we try our very best to produce safe money projects and to produce the services that people sort of need and request, especially in a cost of living crisis. You need things like the libraries and the parks and sort of free or low-cost entertainment, and especially for families and stuff like that as well. So every year we consult the public and we say, this is a level of service that we're thinking of doing, and this is how we pay for it, and the public have their say on that, and they say they want it higher or lower, and that's kind of where the rate strike actually comes from. But as it relates to people that are struggling to pay their rates, well, my first bit of advice is to contact the council, which is 301-0101 in Auckland, and just let them know what's going on, because see what options you have in terms of paying it back in different ways and things like that, you know, installments and stuff like that. But have a chat to staff about it if you're struggling is my number one. And number two, just while I'm on the subject, of course, is... you know, there is a rebate scheme. So if you're earning very low income, and in my opinion, it's too low and we've got to increase it. But if you're very low income, then there are ways to get some of your rates back through a rebate. So just have a chat to staff as well on whether that applies to you. That's my sort of ultimate advice.
Sure. I suppose some of the macroeconomic trends that are causing financial strain on a lot of people is stuff around electricity prices, interest rates going up, and that feeding into people's rents as well. And when you add rates bills onto that, sort of people who, you know, working class, every day paying rent, are going to see that in their reflected in their bills as well. I suppose the question is, can council sustainably keep increasing rates that it needs to in order to fund the services that it has, particularly if Auckland's population increases? Or do we need something new that works for the future of the city that's a little bit more financially sustainable?
Yeah, well, you know, this is me talking personally. I've always favoured looking into different ways to fund local government services. And so the rate situation essentially operates as a kind of wealth tax, right? And that works by and large for the city. But if you say you're on a pension, if you're on fixed income, then that will eat away at your income over time, right? And then that's a real challenge. And so what ways can we make it more reflective of people's income as opposed to house prices? I definitely think we should explore that in the coming years. But like I said before, rates are actually set by the community, not just by the council. So we say, look, you know, like I said before, that balance between the services that you request versus how you pay for them. That's a conversation we have every year as a community, and it's entirely open to communities to say, look, we want less services and pay less rates, just as you can say the opposite, right? And that's kind of how it all lands every year. And it's an interesting one comparing it to things like insurance, mortgages, power prices, things like that. They're all going up, and it's a big challenge for people. You know, mortgages are sort of flatlining a little bit at the moment, but, you know, there have been challenges in the recent years. But, yeah, you're right. Rates do get reflected in people's rental incomes and things like that. So it's a challenge, and it's up to us to be as productive as we can with the rates dollar and as efficient as we can as well.
Now, the last term of council, there's a lot of talk about Auckland's financial position, reducing debt or putting us in a position to service pre-existing debt. There have been calls from some quarters to evaluate what sustainable debt levels mean for government, and particularly local government. Do you think Auckland is in a position to be able to borrow more to service some of the services that we're talking about here? Are we financially set up well, or are there some gaps in that system?
Yeah, look, I think the good news for Auckland residents is that we are set up well, at least in my opinion. We use debt to fund capital expenditure as opposed to ongoing operating costs. Things like when you need to build new pipes and new roads, things like community centres, things like that, that gets funded through debt. And the argument goes is that we need to spread the cost of that infrastructure over the generations that will use it, right, as opposed to people paying up front. If you were to pay up front and do things a different way, your rates bills would absolutely skyrocket, and that would be a huge challenge for people to actually physically pay it. So there's kind of a practical approach as well, kind of a theoretical reason as to why we do that. But yeah, in terms of what council's position is in debt, that's actually evaluated by Moody's and Standard & Poor's, and we consistently get very good credit ratings, often second only to the government. So that's good news as well. How would you kind of do things differently? Well, we've always got to be looking, like I said, at debt levels, but we're well within comfortable means at the moment. Just remembering the last bit of your question there, I wouldn't be in favour of actually using debt to fund ongoing operating expenditure. That's kind of like borrowing your mortgage in household terms to pay for your bread and milk. That will have ongoing effects down the chain to future generations that will hit our kids with much more unsustainable debt levels to fund, you know, expenditure now. That's not responsible. So that's not something I would advocate myself.
Sure. So moving on to our next topic here, on a slightly lighter note.
what's lighter than council debt levels?
Yeah, what's lighter than council debt levels? Absolutely. Fireworks. It is fireworks season. The Wileys just happened. Guy Fawkes is coming up. A lot of... You know, as we have increased immigration in the city and multiculturalism, a lot of festivals involve fireworks and celebrations with them. That's a great part of the vibrancy of the city. But then at the same time, there are a lot of communities and a lot of residents who talk about how the fireworks are disruptive. There are also environmental considerations with fireworks, concerns about animal well-being and our natural life. So what is the current regulatory framework approach by Auckland Council when it comes to fireworks? Do we have any bylaws or bans or restrictions? And would you be in favor of, putting in some sort of regulatory framework to restrict the use of fireworks around this time?
Yeah, so obviously you're restricted in terms of when you can buy them, right? Very, very narrow window on that. That kind of operates as one of the chief controls in fireworks, really. There is a noise control element to this too, if people are really taking the mickey about it. But yeah, you're right. There's every year there's community conversations which can actually get quite heated, pro and anti fireworks for private sales. And yeah, I definitely, as someone that's a father to two young kids and has a dog, I have my own concerns around that myself personally. Our council has always been advocates for greater restrictions in terms of private sales. That's still an ongoing discussion every year. We revisit it, and every year it sort of stays the same, which is a bit of a challenge for us, yeah.
Have you been getting stuff from your community about the use of fireworks? Is this an increasing concern?
100%. I mean, in addition to the issues that I've already pointed out from my community, so I represent the Waitakere Ranges area, and there is always concern around things like fire risk when you're talking about fireworks, especially in wooded areas as well. So, yeah, I would just advise people in the first instance to be really considerate of their neighbours and their community, and if you like the status quo as it is, then maybe act with overabundance of caution, you know, because community backlashes will gather momentum and steam, I would imagine, in the coming years. And so, yeah, make sure that if you do want to partake, then you do that responsibly. That's my first advice, yeah.
I guess that goes to a broader question about how, you know, how Aucklanders navigate the tension of communities coming here, bringing in their own cultural practices, and then, you know, disestablishing or, you know, waking people up at night with all their damn fireworks and stuff. How do you see the future of the city going in that direction in terms of that, you know, cohesiveness bit, that social cohesiveness bit where, you know, we can have that multiculturalism, we can have people practicing their festivals and celebrating with each other, and neighbors that aren't necessarily as grumpy about it in the future?
Yeah, totally. That's a really good point around sort of social cohesion and different cultural practices. We're seeing with Gwalior getting a lot more in terms of fireworks going off recently around our neighbourhood, that's for sure. We've basically all got to try and get along as a community, and I don't think anyone wants to kind of denigrate cultural practices. We want to celebrate them. That's what makes our city such a great place to live. How I see the future with that, so, like I said, it's a complicated picture, but looking at regulations that are sensible in some form to kind of restrict things and manage things at a community level, maybe that's the answer. And even looking at working closer with local boards so that there's local flavour to that discussion too, I'd be in favour of that. But yeah, like I said, it's all a little bit up in the air at the moment, yeah.
That was Councillor Shane Henderson on rates, arrears, and the future of firework usage in the city.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Councilling on 95 BFM.